Our scripture reading this morning comes from the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Listen now to hear God's word for us. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out his angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, hearts to embrace, and minds to understand your word, that we may leave this place ready to serve and love your world. Amen. Fred Craddock, one of the great teachers of preachers, tells the story of a horrible church league softball game. Saturday afternoon, somewhere in Georgia in the middle of the summer, felt like 120 degrees. The other team was beating them about 30 to nothing. It was the second inning. Fred was playing center field, and in a rare moment when the other team was taking a break from hitting home runs, the very devout left fielder jogged over and asked, "Isn't it going to be great when Jesus returns?" And Fred said he looked the guy straight in the eye and told him, "I couldn't think of a better time than right now." It is jarring every year when we begin the season of Advent with scripture readings about the second coming of Jesus. We're all geared up for a baby in a manger, and instead we get catastrophic warnings about what may be ahead. But these passages about Christ's return take us back to the beginning of things. 2,020 years ago, men and women of faith were just as eager for and just as anxious about the first coming of the Savior. We have the advantage of hindsight, but they didn't. They had no idea what to expect, and they may have been terrified as well. But they held on to some slim thread of faith in a God who said, "I will never fail you nor forsake you." Just like us, they saw so much in the world gone wrong, and they were desperate for God to intervene. No surprise that a lot of us are feeling like that these days. Like Fred Craddock at that softball game, we couldn't think of a better time than now for Jesus to come back and bail us out of this. Let's just get 2020 over with. And so when we read a passage like we just heard, it's not hard to equate it with the dumpster fire that this past year has been. Wildfires and hurricanes and earthquakes, to pandemic, to civil unrest, to locust swarms, to an election season that still seems not to be over. And that's just barely scratching the surface. Mark 13 is part of what's often referred to as the little apocalypse, sections of the Synoptic Gospels that refer to Jesus' return at the end of time. Apocalyptic language is graphic and sometimes violent. Matthew and Mark refer to something called the desolating sacrilege. There is talk of false prophets and false messiahs who will lead people astray. There will be darkness from the sun and the moon. The stars will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And we think, yeah, sounds just about right for 2020. As for us, It's not hard to identify with the servants in this little parable who do not know when the homeowner will return. It feels a little bit like we are home alone and that we have been left to our own devices. And yet there is this insistent refrain, keep awake, keep alert, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. As if it were trying to startle us into right living, sort of a biblical version of you better not pout, you better not cry. Now, I don't need to tell you that there are preachers and theologians who have created an entire industry around these verses, predicting exactly when this apocalypse will take place and who will play each of the parts. It's a theology largely based on fear, which, as far as I'm concerned, has nothing to do with the Christian faith as we see it lived out in Jesus Christ. And so instead of worrying about what's going to happen somewhere down the road, what if instead these words from Mark 13 encouraged us to live fully in the present moment? What if they challenged us to give our best energy to the people and the situations around us, recognizing them as the gifts of God that they are? Because the fact of the matter is, Mark 13 makes no mention of the end of the world. There is no indication of judgment, no warning of some big, terrifying, apocalyptic event, only a promise that the Son of Man is near. Now, call me crazy, but it seems to me that that ought to elicit comfort rather than fear. And so what if maybe keep awake means not so much watch out as it does pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to the small glimpses you get of God at work, especially through other people. Pay attention to what's going on in your own heart and mind, and tend them well. Some years ago at a minister's conference, the late Eugene Peterson said that sometimes God's work in the world is like the movement of a glacier. A glacier advances, on average, less than 1 meter, 39 inches, per day. But the glacier's movement crushes and redistributes rock, carving out canyons, making way for rivers, moving the earth in extraordinary ways. Staying true to God's way may not move mountains in a quick second, but in God's time, it reshapes the world. That helps me reframe this last year. A friend sent me a social media post earlier this week. Maybe you've seen it too. Instead of referring to the dumpster fire, she suggested this. Plot twist, 2020 has actually been the best year of your life. You've faced challenge after challenge. You've adapted and you've overcome. 2020 has forced you to grow exponentially. Don't take that for granted. In other words, pay attention to all the ways that God is shaping you. Pay attention to how you are changing in positive ways. Pay attention to how the Spirit is nudging you, maybe in ways you've never experienced before. Pay attention. A couple of years ago, I heard a radio interview with Father Greg Boyle. He's a Jesuit priest in Los Angeles who started a ministry that works with former gang members who are coming out of prison and trying to create new lives for themselves. In the interview, Father Greg talked about how hard it is for an ex-con to find employment. And so 30 years ago, he began to create a network of business owners willing to employ young men and women trying to start over again. But the lure back to the gangs is hard to overcome, and the disappointments can be especially heartbreaking. The interviewer asked Greg Boyle how he kept going after all these years, knowing that sometimes the cycle is just impossible to break. How does he maintain hope? when all the odds are so stacked against him? And Father Greg responded with something I've never forgotten. He told a story about some of the early Christian monastics, mystics who were known as the Desert Fathers and Mothers. And he said whenever they would get absolutely despondent and didn't know how they were going to put one foot in front of the next, they had this mantra, this one word that they said over and over and over to keep themselves focused. And the mantra, he said, wasn't God. And the word wasn't Jesus. The word was today. So keep alert today. Pay attention today. Keep awake today. For the Son of Man is coming with great power and glory. Amen.